Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 11. What if you didn't believe in belief itself?
Letting go of religion can be very traumatic. I want other people to know that it's possible to not believe in God. It's possible to not believe in an afterlife. It's possible to think that death is the end and still live a really happy life and still live a really meaningful life and still feel very connected with the universe. I don't just not believe in God. I don't believe in any sort of supernatural beings or any sort of supernatural forces. I think that physical cause and effect is all there is, and I think that that's actually kind of amazing. The idea that consciousness and selfhood and personal experience just comes out of energy and matter, I think that's astonishing. I think that's beautiful, and I don't think that we need anything more. A lot of atheists have these coming out stories. Talk to almost any atheist and they'll tell you the story of how they left religion, what religion they were raised in. Mine is a little bit different because I was raised a non-believer. My family were agnostics, my parents were both agnostics, and they raised me and my brother without religion. And we didn't really talk about it very much. It was just kind of not very much of an issue. And then when I got to college and started taking too many drugs, I started picking up all this sort of new age belief. I started picking up all this belief in reincarnation and astrology and tarot cards. When you take a lot of drugs, you can start to see these kinds of pseudo patterns very intently. Everything is just so meaningful and everything just seems infused with this essence of life, and it's just pulsating and frankly, that was a lot of what made me start to have spiritual beliefs, was because I was I was getting high all the time and I was seeing all this meaning and all this life force infused into everything around me, and I didn't have a context of critical thinking. Certainly, once I started believing in a soul that was going to live forever, that was a very comforting belief. And, it meant that a lot of questions that I was asking myself, I could stop asking. The questions about why am I here, and what is the meaning of my life, and what should I be doing with my life? Those questions kind of all got answered. My parents raised me as a non-believer, but they did make a little mistake, and that's that they never really taught me and my brother why they were non-believers and why they had left religion. They didn't really explain to us the critical thinking process that they had gone through in letting go of religion. And so as a result, I was raised without religious beliefs, but I didn't particularly have any reason to think critically about religious beliefs when those beliefs started really appearing to me. And I found the New Age stuff very personally appealing, I found it attractive. And what I didn't have was a good framework for understanding that things that seem true aren't necessarily true. It took me really until my 30s to start questioning that and eventually to start letting it go. There was a period where I was sort of looking for some kind of spiritual community to be part of, but I never found anything that attracted me. I'm not that much of a joiner, for one thing. I did have a very strong belief that I had some sort of immaterial soul, that I had some sort of spirit that would live on in some way after I died, some sort of that my consciousness would in some way live after I died. And when I began to let go of my religious beliefs, that was the thing that I found hardest to let go of. There was actually a very specific triggering incident that made me let go finally of any spiritual beliefs that I had, and that's that I had surgery. And it was a pretty minor surgery. I just broke my arm. I needed to get pins set in it, but they had to put me under. They had to give me general anesthesia. The experience of general anesthesia, if you've never been under, it's a really dramatic experience. It's nothing like going to sleep. You're gone. There is nothing left of your consciousness. When I came out of it, I had no idea if I had been out for an hour, if I'd been out for a day, if I'd been out for a month. You could have told me that it was 10 years later, and I would have believed you. There was nothing of me, of my selfhood, left while I was under. And I realized, you know, if just this tiny amount of chemicals in my brain can make my selfhood and my consciousness and my identity completely disappear, just completely eradicate it, what makes me think that when my brain is rotting into dust in the ground, there's going to be anything left? And I realized, okay, consciousness, whatever it is, it's a product of my brain, and I really just need to accept that. I didn't really have a framework for understanding death and accepting death without a belief in an afterlife, and I kind of had to come to my own understanding and my own philosophy of death that made it tolerable, that made it acceptable, and made it possible for me to get on with my life. And that's one of the main reasons why I do the work that I do, why I work as an atheist writer and as an atheist activist, is I don't want anybody else to have to go through that alone. Letting go of religion is very difficult, or it can be very difficult. Now that I think the physical world is all there is, I want to understand how consciousness works and how the brain produces it. You know, I want to understand where the universe came from. You know, facing death in particular is scary, it's daunting, and when I believed in an afterlife, I didn't really ask very many questions about it because I was afraid to, because, you know, I knew that if I came up with the answer that, well, gee, there really isn't an afterlife and, you know, death is the end, that would be upsetting to me, and so I didn't look very hard. What I think is the most harmful thing about religion is the fact that it's unverifiable, and therefore there's no reality check on it. When they say things that are just colossally ridiculous, there's no way to absolutely prove that it's not true. To me, this idea that it's okay to believe in something without any evidence, and in fact when the evidence is pretty much contradicting you flatly, staring you in the face and telling you that you're wrong, this idea that it's okay, that's a really harmful idea. And it's an idea that has harm that affects every aspect of our life. You know, I look at all of these social issues that I care about passionately, and almost all of them are touched by religion. And almost all of them are touched by this idea that faith is a good thing, that it's not only an acceptable thing, that it's a positive thing, that it's a virtuous thing, that it makes you a good person to believe things that you have no reason to think are true. And to me, that makes no sense. And it's actually harmful. Human beings are rationalizing creatures. Human beings will rationalize all kinds of beliefs. We don't need religion to do that. It's the way our minds work, you know, and it's a fairly essential part of the way our minds work. You know, we have to rationalize the things we believe so that we can get on with our life, so that we're not completely paralyzed all the time with guilt and second-guessing. So it's not as if without religion people wouldn't be rationalizing the stupid things we do. Obviously we would be. But because, again, religion is this untestable hypothesis, it provides this very uniquely stubborn form of rationalization. It provides this uniquely stubborn form and excuse for hanging on to beliefs we have, even though all the evidence shows that it's wrong, and convincing ourselves that bad things that we've done, harmful things that we've done, are actually okay. It's not like I think the world will be perfect without religion, but I do think the world would be better without religion. I think that the world would be better without this idea that it's makes you a good person to believe things that you have no reason to think are true. I care passionately about reality. I care about reality more than I care about almost anything else. I think reality is fascinating. I think reality is, by definition, the most important thing there is. And I want to understand reality as best I can, and I want the world to understand reality as best we can. And as long as we have this force, this idea, this religious idea telling us that reality is not really that important, that what's important is this netherworld that we can't see or understand or hear or have any evidence about, and that there's no real reason to think even exists. And as long as we have this idea that's not only acceptable, but that's a good thing to believe in that, that makes it harder to see reality as it is and therefore to know how to act in it. You know, we can't constantly, every second of every day, be questioning everything we do. We'd be paralyzed. You want to be able to brush your teeth and trust that that makes sense, and you want to be able to, you know, get on an airplane and trust that it's going to stay in the sky and all of that. But you have to be willing to see the times when the evidence really is showing you that you're wrong. If you really want something to be true, that's when you have to really start to question it. If you're really getting something out of a belief, whether it's a belief that, you know, men are superior to women, and therefore it's okay that you're making twice as much money as the women in your office, whether it's a belief that, you know, America is great and does everything right, and therefore it's okay that we're bombing other countries back into the Stone Age, or whether it's a belief that you're going to see your friends and family in the afterlife when you die, and therefore you don't have to feel sad about their death and about your own eventual death. When you really, really want something to be true, when it really works to your benefit to have something be true, that's when you have to be very rigorous and very disciplined about questioning it. Because that's when this process of rationalization is much more likely to be taking effect. So I have this somewhat embarrassing confession to make, which is that there is this tiny, tiny part of me that's afraid that the people who believe in the rapture are right. And it's not that in any kind of rational sense I think that they're right. I know that this is ridiculous. I know that this whole numerology thing with the Bible, it makes no sense at all. It's absurd. I know that people have predicted the end of the world countless times before, and they've never been right. But I'm also a human animal, and human animals, when they see other human animals, are all, or even a lot of them, are thinking something. This is part of us that thinks, huh, I wonder if they're right. And that's not actually a terrible thing. Other people can be a very useful reality check. I don't think I'm right about everything all the time. And so that part of me that says, well, gee, I think X, but a whole bunch of people around me think Y, maybe I should question that. And especially when it's something alarming, when it's something that's really frightening. You know, if like 10 people in your tribe are screaming tiger, you don't want to stop and say, oh, well, I don't see a tiger. You want to run. And that's appropriate. When 10 other people in your tribe are screaming tiger, you want to run even if you don't see the tiger. And so there is still this little part of me, this tiny little part of me, that hears the other people in my tribe screaming tiger, and that's going, oh gosh, is there a tiger? Are they right? My spiritual beliefs, even though they gave me a sense of comfort in, you know, believing that I was going to live after I die, and that I had a meaning to my life, and that I was connected with this, you know, gigantic, you know, cosmic consciousness and world soul thing that I believed in. And that was certainly comforting, but it also was kind of unmotivating. And now that I don't believe that any of that stuff is real and that this life is all I have, I feel much more driven to really experience this life. And in particular, my sense of wanting to participate in history and wanting to make a mark on the world. That's, I think, is a lot of what drives my writing career and a lot of my career as an activist in the atheist movement, is if I'm going to be gone when I die, I want the world to be different because I was here. I want for the world to be better because I was here. I want for people to be happier. I want for people to be safer. I want for people to have a better community, to have a better world because I was here. That's my sense of immortality.